Bon, je vous propose de commencer notre séminaire. Merci de prendre vos sièges. J'ai le grand plaisir aujourd'hui d'accueillir le professeur Francesca Simeone, qui est venue spécialement pour nous de Padoue, en Italie. And I will switch to English to thank you very much for visiting us today in the context of this seminar, which is dedicated to what babies know and what they have to learn, trying to decide in a caricature between nature and nurture, but of course with the idea of this Bayesian framework according to which we can combine a priorities and learning within the same framework. So Francesca Simeone has built her whole career on a very specific question, which is what the newborn knows. So you all know that it is already difficult to do psychology with babies in the first year of life. She is doing it within the 5 days of life in the newborn, the neonate. And that is the big challenge, of course, to find methods to extract from these non-speaking organisms and whose behavior is limited, what they know. And the big challenge today is not only to know what they know about the physical world, but also what do they know about people? Do they know about gaze? Do they know about faces? Do they have a form of elementary socialization? This is the question that I asked Francesca to address, and she was very kind enough to accept the invitation. Thank you again.
Thank you. Before starting, I would like to thank you all for coming and to thank the organizer to invite me here. And I beg your pardon, I'm unable to speak French. So I will try to speak my Italian English language, as you will see. What I'm talking about today is about newborns, as Stan said before. I'm working with a 3-4 days old newborn to try to discover what is the human system at birth and what are the competencies we have and what is our endowment. So today I will speak about the origin of the sensitivity to social agents. And I will speak about, as I told you, about newborns. But before speaking of newborns, I need to speak a little bit about adults. So we all are experts in processing faces. And in a few milliseconds, we can recognize from a face the gender, age, emotion, and identity. We are really expert in doing this work. And not only we can recognize, but if we are in an environment, we can detect social agents and discriminate them from all the other physical objects in a few milliseconds. So detection of social agents is one of the things we are expert in doing. This is actually a place in my city. It's a square in Padova. So we are able to detect and to recognize social agents not only because of the presence of a face, but also because we move in a different way from the other agents. I mean, I think that all of you can recognize from these 12 dots, you can recognize that is a man moving. And probably you can also say what he is doing. No problem. Let's try. You can see what he is doing. And this array of dots can immediately be recognized as a human agent. So, we know that we are expert in processing faces and social agents by the movement they produce. And we know also in adults that we have a neural pathway dedicated to process faces and biological motion. So evidence from behavioral brain lesion neuroimaging studies now converge in saying that face processing and biological motion perception involve specific processes carried out by dedicated brain areas. So this is the story has for adults. But from an evolutionary perspective, we know also that the capacity to identify and separate biological agents from non-biological events play a critical role for adaptive behavior. This means that these abilities are conserved across species and are critical for filial attachment and for detection of predators. So, from an evolutionary perspective, we can think that our brain might be with some predisposition to identify social agents. The topic of today is, okay, this is the story, but which is the origin of the brain specialization for social stimuli, and which is the origin of our functional specialization to process social stimuli. And I will try to answer the following question today. Does the human system possess inborn predisposition that ensures specialization? And how these innate, possibly predisposition, interact with experience to contribute to the development of a social brain? So my talk will be shared in two parts. In the first part, I will speak about faces, and in the second part, I will speak about biological motion. Okay, so going back to faces, the capacity to identify faces is called face detection. And this is a process that is quite different from face recognition. Face detection means to detect a face in an environment and doesn't mean to recognize the identity of the man or a woman, but just to see that he is a social agent present. Face recognition is a quite different process and is a delayed match and involve a judgment of a previous occurrence of this person. It means that usually the technique to test detection and recognition in infants are quite different. Usually to test detection, we need preferential looking procedure. And to test the recognition, we need habituation procedure, like this one, that consists in presenting a face for a number of times and after a delay to present two faces, the one that the newborns have already seen and a new one, and to test if they can recognize the familiar face and discriminate this face from the novel one. This is completely different from the other paradigm, the one to test face detection. That means to test if there are any preference for faces as compared to other kind of stimuli. So we know that newborn recognize the mother face, for instance, and this means that they recognize that this face is familiar, okay? And they discriminate from the face of another woman. But face recognition implies a system that learns about face. So this system learns, and we know also that this learning system processed during the development different features and that the two hemispheres are quite different in processing faces. So as you can see, we didn't speak today about face recognition. I will concentrate on face detection, okay? And I will try to answer these question. If the human system is specialized from birth to detect social stimuli. There are at least three hypotheses on the origin of face specialization. The first one, that is called experience independent, maintains that we have an innate specialization for faces, and that faces recruit, starting from the beginning, specific mechanisms, and is determined before any postnatal experience. So this predisposition came from our evolutionary history, okay? This is the first hypothesis. The second one is the so-called experience-dependent hypothesis, or skill-learning hypothesis. This hypothesis maintains that faces are not special. We become specialized for faces because at the beginning, faces recruit general mechanisms, and as a function of experience, we become expert in face processing. The third hypothesis that is called the experience expectant view maintains that face we become specialized for faces as a result of the interaction between innate predisposition that we don't know if are general or specific, and I will be back on this topic later. But anyway, face specialization derives from the interaction between innate predisposition and the extensive experience with faces. This hypothesis is called the interactive specialization hypothesis. And as you can see, there are a lot of very famous researchers that supported these hypotheses. And one is Scania de Schoenen, that he is here today, that maintains since 1989 this idea that the system might be broadly tuned at the beginning of the life, and after experience with the faces, inter-regional connectivity change during development as a function of experience. The main idea is that we have a system that is broadly tuned at the beginning and restrict the fate during development and become specialized. And different parts of our brain are interconnected during the development, and we become expert as a function of some predisposition and of the experience with faces that are the most frequent stimulus we see in our life, starting from the beginning. So, these three hypotheses, that experience-dependent, experience-independent, or with an interactive specialization, were at the beginning strongly supported by the results with the newborns. Why? Because it was very easy to demonstrate that newborns are sensitive to faces, starting from 9 minutes after their birth. In some lab, in the Goren lab in 1973, they were able to demonstrate that if you present to a newborn these different patterns, okay, a face-like, a scrambled face-like, with the same number of elements but disorganized, and if you present each one of these, you will see that the baby will track more the faces or the face-like. And this was the tracking paradigm that has been utilized at that time. So At 9 minutes, they can follow and track more a face. This seems to demonstrate that we are predisposed to process faces and to detect faces. And these results were replicated in different labs. In my home lab, with a face like this one, and with the real photograph of faces, but with a different procedure. In my lab, we didn't utilize the tracking behavior, but we utilize the preferential looking technique that consists in presenting the two stimuli in two different sides. In the two different sites. Here is the video recorder, and then to test if they prefer look more and orient more on the side where the face is as compared to other stimuli. Okay? So, in different lab, with different technique, we were able to demonstrate that newborns prefer faces. But usually, the condition is to compare on one side a real face, upright face, and on the other side, the upside down face. Why? Because we need to compare two stimuli with the same energy, with the same color, with the same structure to demonstrate that the face is preferred. We cannot contrast a face with a checkboard because in this case, these two stimuli differ for a lot of other components, luminance, energy, and we know that newborns are sensitive. They look more what they can see better. So when we compare and we try to demonstrate the preference for faces, we need two stimuli that are the same for all the low-level variables. And with these stimuli, we were able to demonstrate that they prefer a face. How this preference was interpreted? It was interpreted, to summarize, in two ways. The first, as a real demonstration that starting from the beginning of our life, we have a low spatial frequency detector. We have a face detector that is sensitive to faces, okay? So we possess a specific mechanism. This was the first hypothesis that Johnson and Morton supported many years ago. And the idea was that due to the evolutionary pressure, our brain now possess a specific mechanism to detect faces. On the other hand, there can be a different explanation, and that we don't need a specific mechanism for faces, but the preference might be due to the addition in the face of a lot of non-face specific perceptual properties that the system is tuned to process. Let me go in more details in these two hypotheses. So on one hand, we have the idea of Johnson, that there is a subcortical detector for faces. And the name of this detector is CONSPEC, because it enables us to recognize our conspecific. So we have a CONSPEC specific for faces. This mechanism sends information to a different mechanism that is a general pattern learning mechanism that acquire information about any visual pattern, but is not specific for faces. And after a couple of months, we become, at about 2 months, we become with a cortical mechanism that is able to recognize and these faces. And this is a mechanism for recognition. it was a long story, how many mechanisms to process faces we have at the beginning, two, three specific, general. Okay, it was a long dispute that is still present in the literature. Anyway, this was the main idea. The second possibility is that we don't need a conspec to detect faces, but probably we need just to have the sensitivity to some non-specific face attributes that are present also in a face, but we are sensitive to these attributes independently from the fact that they are in faces. So, why? Because faces have a lot of perceptual properties that are typical of faces. Look, faces are symmetrical along the vertical axis, okay? Second, the disposition of the inner element within the contour is congruent to the shape of the contour. So this is a second property that is present in the upright face. And if we look at the upright face and at the upside down face, that usually are the two stimuli that are contrasted, we will see that the upright face has a number of elements in the upper part that is double as compared to the upside down face. Look, when we contrasted the upright face and the upright upside down face, okay, the upright face has more element in the upper part, okay, as compared to this one. And there is a congruent disposition of the element within the contour, okay? So, we were trying to answer this question. Face preference is due to the presence of the conspec or is due to the presence of a lot of properties in a face that the system is able to process? And this question came from the fact that we have a lot of other preferences at birth. For instance, apart from faces, newborns prefer to look, for instance, at horizontal lines than at vertical lines. Why? Why newborns prefer horizontal line? And this is true with these kind of stimuli that are lines, but also with other configuration. The possible interpretation is that they prefer to look at horizontal light because the eyes move from left to right and it's easier for them to scan horizontal lines than vertical lines because at the birth they have difficulty in moving their eyes up and down. So we have a lot of preferences in newborns apart from faces. And this was mainly our idea, to test if there is, if the newborns are able to prefer stimuli that have these properties that are present also in face. So what we did? We decided to test the first hypothesis. Do newborns prefer upright face as compared to upside down faces? Because the upright faces possess a greater number of elements in the upper part. So we decided to test this idea and we tested the hypothesis with geometrical stimuli. Look, here you can see we have one stimulus that has a number of elements in the upper part greater than the other stimulus that is upside down, exactly in the same way as the upright face is with the upside down face. And in all of this condition, newborns manifest a preference for the stimuli with a greater number of elements in the upper part. So, independently from faces, newborns prefer stimuli with a greater number of elements in the upper part. Can this explanation explain the preference for faces? So, we decided to test this with the face-like patterns. We destroyed the geometry of a face. We maintained the oval, and we destroyed the geometry of a face. And we built some stimuli with a greater number of elements in the upper part as compared to the stimulus that is exactly the same, but with more elements in the lower part. And even in this case, we got a preference for the stimulus with a greater number of elements in the upper part. But the most intriguing result is this one, because in this experiment, we contrasted a face-like stimulus with the geometry of a face with a stimulus with the same number of elements in the upper part, but without any face geometry. So, if the hypothesis of a conspec mechanism is true, we have to expect a preference for the stimulus where the face geometry is present. If, on the other hand, newborns prefer the upright face because of the number of elements in the upper part, in this case, since the two patterns have the same number of elements, we should not expect any preference. And this was exactly what we obtained. Newborn did not manifest any preference for the face-like stimulus. And if you look at the time they spent to look at the two stimuli, they prefer to look a little bit more the scramble face than the face-like pattern. So this seems to be in contrast with the idea of a face representation present since birth and of a special mechanism. But of course, we need to test more this hypothesis, and so we carried out a third experiment. Okay, we replicate the same experiment you have seen with the face-like. We replicate with the photograph of real faces. And look, this is the most intriguing result. When they have a face on one side and a scrambled face on the other side, they did not manifest a preference for the face. When the number of elements in the upper part is the same, they did not manifest any preference. So, it seems that maybe conspec is very stupid and is unable to differentiate a face from a scrambled face when the number of elements in the upper part is the same. But the story is not finished, because we run another experiment, and this time we contrasted a face, a real face, with a scrambled face. But this time the scrambled face has a number of elements in the upper part that is greater than the number of elements of the face. If we have the conspec this time should recognize the face. If the reason of the preference is the number of elements, this is a tricky condition, because in this case, newborn should prefer the elements with more the patterns with the more element in the upper part. And this is what we obtained. Newborn prefer these stimulus as contrasted to the other one. So we concluded the story in this way. Oh no, before concluding the story, in this case, we concluded that probably the there is no need to have a specific mechanism. And it could be that we prefer faces because of the presence of these properties that are not specific for faces. So we tested the second property, that was the congruency effect. So we contrasted two patterns with the same number of elements in the upper part. Look, they have the same number of elements. And the hypothesis was, do newborns prefer the pattern that is more congruent, where the disposition of the inner element is congruent with the shape of the contour? These two patterns differ only for one characteristic, that is, one has a square, okay? So the inner elements are exactly the same as in the triangle, but one has a square contour and the other one has a triangular contour. But in this case, there is a congruent disposition of the element within this contour. Where the contour is larger, we have more elements. So the idea was, do newborns prefer these patterns? And the answer is yes. They prefer this pattern independently from the fact that they are faces. And they prefer the pattern that has a congruent disposition of the element. They prefer this pattern in this case, but of course, one can argue, oh, but this look has face-like. They have three blobs, so what are you doing? So we decided to test with the different patterns, and we choose, in this case, a pattern that is not similar to faces. This is a trapezoid. The number of elements is exactly the same in the two patterns, but one possesses a congruent disposition of the element with the contour, and the other one possesses the disposition of the element that is not congruent. And I have to say that this idea came during a meeting in Maratea, where we were discussing about brain, because Bourneau and Scania de Shannon told me that the collicular system is not able to process complex shapes, and I have the notes from that conference. The general idea was probably our system, Reude collicular system, is so Reude that the collicular system is not able to process configuration geometry, but is sensitive to a lot of perceptual properties. It happens that these perceptual properties are present in a face. So the collicular system is sensitive to face because of the presence of of all of these properties. So the story is that what we can say at present is that we got a preference for stimuli with more elements in the upper part and with a congruent disposition of the element within a contour. In newborn visual world, the faces are the pattern that most likely display such features. And at birth, the preference for faces might be due to a preference for certain non-face-specific perceptual attributes. So our idea is that nature made a trick. And in order to induce the too crude superior colliculus to prefer faces, a preference for non-face specific perceptual attributes has been created. And now this is the story as for newborns. So at birth, there is a very coarse template of face. Look, newborns do not manifest a preference in this case, they do not manifest any preference if one face is with the eyes rotated, and they do not manifest any preference when a monkey face and a human face are contrasted. So, what we think is that they prefer faces because, in this case, for instance, these are two moony faces. There are no details in these two shapes, but they still prefer faces. And we think that they process these patterns overall in a configural way. But what happened 3 months later? Just a few words to show you what happened in the system 3 months later. We replicate all these experiments with 3 months old children. And of course, in this case, we have a different technique that is the use of an infrared camera that records the eyes, so we can record not only where the baby is looking, right or left, but also the part of the stimulus that is looking. I have no time to go in detail of this technique. Anyway, we replicate all these experiments. These are newborns, and you know what newborns are doing. And these are 3 months old children. No matter, no question, in all the cases, they prefer the face. Even when the number of elements is the same as in this case, or when the face is compared to the scrambled face with more elements in the upper part. So 3 months later, the system become specialized to process faces. And the same perceptual mechanism present at birth cannot explain the preference in 3 months old children. And look, this is what they look at during the presentation. The eyes become the most important part. And as you can see, 3 months old infants look at the eyes because the eyes are a signal that is important. So, this is not the only result we have. We know from different lab in different country that at 3 months, the system become specialized to process faces. And at this age, start for instance, other specific effect. For instance, when the baby is 3 months old, he starts to be better in processing own race faces or own species faces as compared to other species. So, the story is finished, and what we can conclude is that infants are sensitive to the additive effect of perceptual properties at birth, and that the same general constraint active in newborns cannot explain face preference at 3 months of age. So the general conclusion is that as for face, we believe that as a function of experience, the processes responsible of infant face preference shift from being broadly tuned to a wide range of visual stimuli to being increasingly tuned to face. And in our view, these testify that the interactive specialization hypothesis is the most suitable to explain the behavior during the first month of life in infants. The story about face is finished, and now we will start with the story about biological motion. So, the question is always the same. Is the human system able to detect social stimuli on the basis of other specific properties, such as the way they move? We know that adults are able to do this. What about newborns? Okay, in adults, we know that in few milliseconds they can recognize the presence of a human being from the movement. So, is there an innate predisposition to do this? We know also that in adults there is an inversion effect with the biological motion. That means that similarly to faces, detection and recognition of a point-like walking person is disrupted if the display is turned upside down. Look, this is a walking man upside down. I think that you have some trouble to recognize that this is the same man that you saw before, but just upside down. Okay? This is called inversion effect. And it was explained in two different ways. On one hand, somebody explained the inversion effect just saying that inversion disrupted the configural properties of the familiar shape of the man. So it's due to the disruption of the configural properties, exactly as it happens with the faces. On the other hand, there is a second hypothesis, that is that inversion destroy or impair the perception of the dynamic relation that relies on the natural direction of the gravity forces. I mean, the inversion disrupts the kinematics of the movement. So the impairment is due to the fact that we are not able to recognize the kinematic of the movement. Okay, so what happened with the newborns? Is inborn this sensitivity or is experience dependent? I was astonished when I realized that newly hatched chicks were able to recognize biological motion starting from the beginning of their life. There was a paper published from Regolin Vallortigara that demonstrate that newly hatched chicks can recognize biological motion without any previous experience. How is the experiment? Is exactly this one. The chicks is in the middle of a corridor. On one hand, he has a biological motion, hen. On the other side of the corridor, he has a different kind of stimulus that move, okay? These researchers were able to demonstrate that chicks were sensitive to biological motion. And this preference, they manifest this preference walking in the direction of the corridor where the biological motion is present, okay? So this is something that was already demonstrated with chicks. What about newborns? We decided to test newborns with the same walking hen that was used with chicks. Why? Because we want to be sure that they have no experience with this shape. It's for sure a walking hen, he is unfamiliar for newborns, okay? And we contrasted this biological motion, okay, with a random motion. We have exactly the same number of dots in the two arrays. One move has a walking hen, the other one is random. So each dots go in a different direction. And with a visual preference paradigm, we tested this preference. And what happened? Newborns prefer the walking hen. It means they prefer the biological motion. But a possible explanation of this result is that the biological motion pattern has a greater figural coherence. All the dots move in the same direction. So it should be that the newborns prefer this pattern, not because of the biological motion, but because of the figure coherence of the dots that goes all in the same direction. Okay? So we tested this idea with a second experiment. We, in this case, we have the same number of elements, and they rotate along the vertical axis. So this is a rigid motion, all the dots move along the vertical axis. Okay, this is the movement, and we run a second experiment. We contrasted the walking hand with the biological motion and a rotating rigid hand-like motion. And again, we got a preference for biological motion. So the interpretation that they prefer these stimulus because of the figural coherence doesn't, in this case, this experiment support the hypothesis that they really prefer biological motion and not figural coherence. Okay, so they seem to be able and to differentiate biological motion from non-biological motion and to prefer biological motion. The last experiment was to test if there is an inversion effect present at birth. So we contrasted the upright walking hand with the same pattern, but just upside down. Look, this is exactly the walking hand upside down. And they prefer the walking hand. So they manifest a preference for the upright walking hand. What can we say? For sure, they prefer biological motion. Even when there are just 11 dots that move biologically. And for sure, this is independent from the global shape. They never experience a walking hand. So this is independent from the shape of the figure. And what is that they have a sensitivity for the kinematics of the movement. So our idea is that there is an inborn predisposition for the dynamic of the biological motion. And this dynamic has to be congruent with the gravitational forces. So our explanation is that they prefer the biological motion upright as compared to upside down, because in the upright biological motion, the gravity forces are congruent with the kinematics of the movement. This is not true when the array is upside down. So this is our explanation. But we have a lot to discover. What are they processing in the biological motion? And are they able to do the same if we have a real pattern, not dots, but real patterns? And here is one tentative answer. Here we change. There is no more dots. There are two real hands. These hands, I hope, move. Oops. No, sir. They don't move. Ah. How can I manage? Oops. Maybe. Okay. Look. They move. Okay, what we are trying to answer here. We contrasted two different movements. They are both biological. In one case, the move, the hand, is a grasping hand. On the other hand, on the other side of the display, there is the same movement with the precision grip movement. Okay? So, we want to see if babies are able to discriminate the two different, they are both biological. Can the baby discriminate between the different movement of the hand? First question. And the second question, even more intriguing. When the same two hands move with the same motion, but instead of going the motion from the body toward the objects, the movement is from the objects toward the body. Okay, so the trajectory is inverted. In one case, the hand is going to reach the object. In the other case, the hand is going back. Okay, so the dynamic is the same. Can they discriminate the trajectory? So we tested newborns in these two conditions. This is the movement not transitive, and this is this is when the movement is going to reach the object. Okay, next time I will put the boss in the same slide. What do newborns do? They were able first to recognize the two different movement of the hand. So, they were able to discriminate the grasping and the reaching movement of the hand. And they prefer the grasping, okay? First. Second, as you can see, they were able to differentiate the movement toward the object and the movement backward. So, they can discriminate toward and backward the trajectory of the movement. And they prefer the movement toward the objects, so a transitive movement. So we are now trying to answer a lot of other questions. So is this some predisposition? But the important part is how does it come? That at birth we are able to differentiate a movement backward and toward and backward. Do newborns have some proprioceptive experience before birth? We know that they move in utero. We know that they reach in utero. Do these results can be explained, these results, with this general idea? This is what we will do in the future. So, to finish, newborns prefer biological motion. For sure, they prefer biological motion. And overall, these data are consistent with the existence at the birth of a predisposed, experience-independent mechanism for detection of biological motion. I don't think, even in this case, that we need a special mechanism for biological motion. I'm trying to demonstrate, even in this case, but this is my job for the future, that newborns are sensitive to some special temporal parameters. We don't need a mind with a lot of different mechanisms specialized from the beginning. One for the biological motion, one for the face, one for other kind of agents. I think that probably, even in the case of biological motion, newborns are sensitive to some perceptual cues that define biological motion as compared to other kind of movement. So the general idea is that even in this case, the system is broadly tuned to detect low-level perceptual cues embedded in social stimuli, and that specialization arises as a function of this general predisposition and of our experience with the environment. Thank you for your attention.